I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. Faith School, obviously, is something about faith we're going to be talking about. And faith is not this unknowable, mysterious thing that some people imagine. And there are laws that govern its development. If you look at Jesus' ministry and listen to what he said about faith, there were times when he said to people, you know, oh, you of little faith. And then there are other times he would say, how is it that you have no faith? And then a few occasions he said, I haven't seen such great faith in all the areas. So faith is at different levels, none, little, great. Well, what determines that? Do we have a part to play? Absolutely. When you're born again, Romans talks about to every person is given a measure of faith. Well, then what you do with that is going to determine whether it grows and develops or whether it does not. If you only feed on fear, if you only feed on foolishness, if you only feed on confusion or any number of things that there's an abundance of all around us in this world, your faith won't grow. Your fear will grow. Your darkness will increase. But just like if you feed on fear, the fear will get worse, the fear will get stronger. Well, you feed your faith will get stronger.
Yeah. Amen.
But not just anything will feed your faith. God's word is what feeds your faith. Amen. The scripture said, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word or by the report of God. So that's why we have Faith School. Father, all of us agree today as touching this, asking you for those things, for the supply of the Spirit, for the anointing, for the utterance, for the eyes that see and ears that hear and heart that can understand. Thank you, Lord, for being so gracious and so faithful to give us this day our daily bread and to feed and nourish us up in the words of faith. And we purpose to hold on to it and to put it into practice as you show us how. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Go, please, to Hebrews, the third chapter. We have a great textbook here at Faith School. It's the Bible. And, oh, it's got the answers.
Amen.
And we've been on this for a number of weeks now, a series that we're calling Overcoming Unbelief. And you'll find that the New Testament warns us, especially here in Hebrews and 1 Corinthians and other places, warns us about the dangers of unbelief. Just like faith can open the doors for God to move and even to have miracles in your life, well, unbelief has the opposite effect. Unbelief can shut the doors, and unbelief can cause you to be robbed of the plan of God. It's one of the worst things that could happen to you is unbelief. And that's why we're looking at it, so that we'll recognize it and not yield to it, not give any place to it. Don't you want to recognize unbelief before it rounds the corner at the end of the street?
Yes.
And you go, no, no, I'm not giving you an inch. And that way you stay safe and you don't get robbed. Well, Hebrews 3 and verse 7 says, wherefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do alway err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. He's saying that they, and this is that first generation of Israelites that God delivered out of Egyptian slavery and bondage, they refused to believe him. They refused to trust him. They refused to listen to him and obey him. They did harden their heart and wouldn't listen. And he said, they tempted me and proved me, and they provoked him. The word tempt can also be translated, we'd probably more likely translate it today in our vernacular, test. These words, test. And they challenged God, and they challenged him to prove something to them. And they didn't realize that it wasn't God who was being tested. It was them. And they had it completely swapped around. And they're like demanding, and God will prove it to us and show us, and where are you, and how come, and why? Well, do you hear the tone of that? That's disrespectful. Mm-hmm. That's unthankful. Yes. And it is unbelieving. These are symptoms and indicators of unbelief, the opposite of faith. If God is real, if he is the creator of the heavens and the earth, if he makes our sun shine and gravity work and gives us our next breath, we ought not be challenging him and demanding of him, yes. Right?
Yes.
We ought to come in gratitude,
yes.
And worship.
Amen.
And humble ourselves and submit ourselves. But see, that's the thing about submission. It requires trust, right? If you come and say, Lord, I submit to you, well, that means I'm trusting you for whatever you tell me to do, that it'll be the right thing. And you're not trying to hurt me, and you're not trying to destroy me. To heed, to listen, to submit, to obey, these all require faith,
amen.
Right?
Yes.
And the thing when people say, well, you got to prove it to me, you know, I don't just fall for anything. And you know, I have degrees. I went to school. And so, yeah, well, you're not that smart. Smart people realize reality. They acknowledge the God of creation and how much you need him every millisecond.
Amen.
And so if you know that, and we stated this last week, and we'll talk some more about it, the phrase that if you're testing God, you're not trusting God. If you're challenging him to prove something to you, well, that's proof positive, you don't trust him. You don't trust him. But remember the definition of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for or expected. It's the evidence of things not seen. The strongest faith is when you don't see it, you don't understand it, but if he said it, okay.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You submit to it, you trust it, you do it, and that's what he's looking for with every one of us and in every successive generation. He went on to say, verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Down to verse 18, he said, to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. This refers to what was called the promised land, the land that flowed with milk and honey, houses they didn't build, vineyards and orchards they didn't plant, wells they didn't dig, houses full of good things that they didn't furnish. That first generation didn't enjoy any of that, ever. They died before they ever saw any of that. They lived for 40 years making circles in the desert until they died young and wrong. And their thought was the people who are in the land, the promised land, are too strong. They're giants. They're walled cities. They have iron chariots. There's no way. But that wasn't true. The next generation went in and enjoyed it. So what kept them out? It wasn't the giants. They would have told you it was the giants. It wasn't the walled cities. It wasn't the iron chariots. It wasn't their lack of being a well-trained, well-armed army themselves. It wasn't that. Now, why am I saying that? Because, well, why is this in the New Testament? Why is he still talking about something that happened centuries before? Because faith doesn't change. Unbelief doesn't change. These spiritual influences and forces are working the same today as they did thousands of years ago. These spiritual things are the same. So isn't that happening today that people say, well, I can't have this because of this. I can't do this because of this. And there's 1,001 reasons the enemy will give you, and it looks that way. The giants were there, and they're big. Yes. Is that right? And the cities were walled. But is that bigger than God? No. No. And so you and I face exactly the same kind of situations and decisions today that they did. And he's warning us, don't let happen to you what happened to them. Don't stiffen your neck, harden your heart, get mouthy with God, start challenging and complaining and blaming and all that. Because if you do, it can keep you out of the blessings of God. It can rob you of the plan of God. They didn't get to enter in because of unbelief. Keep reading chapter 4. Let us therefore fear. See, he keeps bringing it back to us. Lest a promise left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. That's what we've been saying. Same thing today. For unto us was the gospel preached, or good news, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, one thing you'll see, go ahead and go with me back to Numbers, the 14th chapter. We're continuing in our series that we're calling Overcoming Unbelief, and there's some 15 events where they failed the test. Instead of trusting God, they doubted him. And we're up to number 14 in our study. So if you haven't been with us, go online, faithschool.org, and go back to the first ones and go through them, catch up with us. It'll help you get more out of what's happening now. But you see the same responses, a little bit different language, a little bit different details and circumstances, but the same evil spiritual stuff, evil unbelief, evil fear, evil rebellion and disobedience in every one of these 15 episodes. That's what he's talking about here in Hebrews. In Numbers 14, it was the culmination of 10. This was the 10th episode. And you see their response. They had sent, in chapter 13, they sent the 12 spies into the land. And then they came back and brought the report. And they told them, let's back up to chapter 13. Chapter 13 and 26. They went and came to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children and brought back word, and they showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them, they said, we came to the land where you sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey. This is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, the giants. Now, I want you to notice a word, verse 28, the very first word, nevertheless. Nevertheless, we might say today, but. Huh? But. And faith and unbelief can be identified by which side of this word you're on.
Yeah, that's right.
Huh? Yeah. That's right. Which side you're on. And notice what they said. They said, oh man, it's a beautiful land. Look at these grapes. Look at these pomegranates. Look at these figs. It is. But what? The people are mighty that live in the land. The cities are walled. There are giants there. Now, verse 30, Caleb stilled the people before Moses, and he was on the other side of nevertheless.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, there's giants. Yeah, but God's with us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Now, the reason I'm saying this is because it is so obvious, faith and unbelief, by looking at the response and which side of this you're on and looking at the emphasis, what you emphasize. Unbelief and fear is going to emphasize a problem. It's going to emphasize the symptoms. It's going to emphasize the lack. It's going to emphasize the challenge. It's going to emphasize what we don't have, what we don't know, what we can't do. Nobody will help me. It's so hard. Yeah, I know God said, but. Come on, can't see that? See, you're on the wrong side, right? Of nevertheless. So, but Caleb said, let's go up at once. Let's go up at once. But verse 31, the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people. Now, you can't get any more opposed. Look at verse 30. Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Verse 31, the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up. We can do it, Caleb said. They said, we can't do it. We can do it. They said, we can't do it. Now, I don't know if you've read the rest of this story, but this continues throughout Numbers. It continues throughout Deuteronomy, and it continues into Joshua. But in Caleb, I want to point out to you that right here, even at this point, what happened to Caleb? Help me out. Did he go in and possess the land?
Yes. Yes.
What happened to the verse 31, the people that said they couldn't?
They never
did. Can it be that simple?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Jesus talked about this. He said, by your words, you'll be justified.
Amen.
And by your words, you'll be judged and condemned.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he say it?
Yes.
By whose word? By what you say, by what comes out of your mouth. That's how you'll be judged. Another word for judge is determine. That's how it'll be determined what happens with you. Caleb said, we can do it. Let's go do it. We can do it. There's giants. Yeah, there are giants. Yeah, there's walled cities. But nobody's bigger than God, right? And God's with us. He sent us. He told us to get it. He told us he's given it to us. Right?
Yeah.
And it took 40 years, but what he said came to pass.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yes.
Caleb possessed the land. His descendants possessed the land. And the guys that said, we can't. Yeah, it's a good land. Yeah, it's beautiful, just like God said. But we can't. Then they never did. They never did. Most people, including most church-going people, do not monitor what's coming out of their mouth. They say all manner of things just because it crossed their mind, just because they feel that way at a given time. But the scripture said, life and death is in the power of the tongue.
Amen.
Hmm?
Yes.
Jesus said, your words is what's judging you, justified or condemned. So no matter how you feel, no matter how it looks, if you're aware, if you understand some of the things of God, you will begin to decree and declare that God is bigger than your problem.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
And that you will, you don't have to have a clue how long it might take or what it might take happening to cause it to happen, but you need to begin to declare that you will possess what he has given you. You will experience it. You will enjoy it, and then not give up if you don't see it happen in the next few days or the next few weeks or whatever. Some things, years. I mean, Caleb, it was 40 years, right? I know your flesh don't want to hear that. But you don't want to be verse 31. We know that, right? You don't. Why? Because they never experienced it. They died before the other guys experienced it. And they died young. And they died wrong. So every day, class, I hope you're awake. Every day, you're faced with issues and you're faced with choices. How will I respond to what's going on? And you'd like to think that you could get to a place spiritually where nothing ever bothers you anymore. You're just above it all. No, that's called dead. That's called... That means you have left the earth. As long as you're down here in the midst of this, you're going to have to deal with some things. And so you'll either deal with it in faith, faith in God, or you'll deal with it in fear. You'll either respond with words that agree with God and words about what's possible, or you will speak words based totally on fear and what you see and what you feel. And it's happening every day. It's going to happen today and tonight. Yes. There'll be things, you know, here's a bill you weren't expecting. And it's bigger than you were expecting. And just an annoyance to your flesh. You're like, well, I wasn't planning on paying that. And why did they charge me so much? And where am I going to get it? You better not talk that way. Do you want it paid? Yes. Do you want to come out? Yes. Come on, are y'all with me? Yes. Then, see, can you see what I'm saying? Your response to this, which side of the nevertheless are you on? Right? Well, look, it's a bill we didn't expect. Well, look, it's a lot more money. That's like, they're giants. They're walls, right?
Yes.
Nevertheless, right? My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I'm a giver. Hopefully you're a tither. I'm a tither. I'm a giver. I've sown and it's coming back to me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, right? Talk faith, not by what you see, not by how you feel, because things will rub you wrong sometimes and just irritate you. And so if you're irritated and annoyed or frustrated, well, if you talk from that, you're going to talk failure. You're going to talk defeat. You're going to talk aggravation. And that's going to bring you down. And you have to discipline yourself. I said you got to discipline yourself, right?
Yes.
And sometimes you have to catch yourself mid-sentence. Well, where in the world did this bill... Okay. Do I want it paid or not? Come on, y'all with me. Do I want the need met or not?
Yes.
Then don't you start on some kind of rant about how bad it is and how unfair it is and how all this stuff. If you need to pay it, you need to pay it.
Right?
Right? So what do? Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. You're my source.
Yes,
because the Lord's my good shepherd, I shall not lack. I shall not lack for money to pay this. I call every bill paid. I call every need met. Yeah, it's a bill, but easy for God.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Instead of going, yeah, I'm a Christian, but this bill is not right. This bill is not fair. How am I going to pay this bill? See, which direction you decide to go, which side of nevertheless or but are you on?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
It's a problem, but ain't no problem for God.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Yeah, God gave me a word, but this is a mess. And then see, whichever one you end up on last, that's the one you tend to spend the most time on.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, you made a good confession in the morning, but then you talked about the problem the rest of the day. Well, then your faith's not going to be fed. Your fear's going to be fed. Once you know what the problem is, That's enough talking about it. Right? Now, let's spend the rest of the day talking about how God takes care of us. Right? Talking about how this is no problem for God. What a tiny amount that must be to Him. Easy peasy. Right?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Y'all okay?
Yes.
So, you see it again in chapter 14, all the congregation lifted up their voice and they cried. And the people wept that night. Do you know that all crying should not be coddled? Do you know what I mean by that?
Yes.
People say, well, bless their hearts, you know, they just need a hug. These people didn't need a hug. This is evil unbelief. Huh? Are y'all with me? And they said, would God we had died in the land of Egypt. Would God we had died in the wilderness. Friend, never, ever, ever say, I wish I was dead. Don't ever say such an evil thing. Never. And verse 6, Joshua the son of Nun, Caleb the son of Jephunneh, that searched their clothes, rent their clothes. Unbelief is irritating to faith. And faith is irritating to unbelief. They spoke to the children of Israel. The land which we passed through to search it, it's an exceeding good land. See, they had already quit talking about that. If the Lord delight in us, He will bring us into the land and give it to us. Only don't rebel against the Lord. Don't fear the people. They're bread for us. Their defense is departed. The Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. They said, kill them. Kill them. Why? For talking faith. Talking faith. Say it out loud. I make the choice.
I make the choice.
To believe God today.
To believe God today.
And every day.
And every day.
Every issue I face.
Every issue I face.
Every challenge I face.
Every challenge I face.
I declare. God is bigger than all of it.
God is bigger than all of it.
Always has the answer.
Always has the answer.
Always is faithful to help me.
Always.
I choose to believe.
I choose to believe.
I choose to praise God.
I choose to praise God.
I choose to speak His word.
I choose to speak His word.
And I will see it.
I will experience
the goodness of God
in the land of the living.
In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Well, our time's up again, but that was a good thing to end on right there. Amen. That's a good thing to focus on. Stay on the correct side of nevertheless. Well, come back tomorrow. There'll be a lot more to see here in Faith School. We'll see you soon.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.